Well, today we're going to continue in our series, Characters of the Bible. Characters of the Bible. And we've been going over a series here for quite some time on looking at Bible characters. Not just looking at Bible characters, but we're pulling out character traits of these Bible characters and discussing them and seeing exactly how that relates to my life and your life. And today I do apologize when y'all see you fanning. It's a little hot in here today. I know that we came in this morning and we're having some trouble with the AC in the middle unit here. And so it was, you know, it always happens on a Sunday morning when you can't get anybody out here, right? But today, I promise you, we got the doors open up and the AC's flowing through here. And we'll try to keep it as cool as possible. And if you say amen a lot, I'm going to let you out. This, I won't keep you very long. Amen? All right, there you go. Woo! Some of you, hallelujah, right there. Some of you all of a sudden feeling the Spirit of God. Oh, yes, Pastor! Hallelujah, you guys. Yeah, I hear you. Okay, I get it. Last week, I didn't even get the chance to preach, and someone said, amen, Pastor, that was a great service. I didn't know how to take that, but I just, just playing around. I knew what they meant. We had a great service last week as we just continued to say, God, raise our passion for you. And the Spirit led us, and we had an altar time last week that led, and we just, all we did last week was pray for people and see God increase our spirit. And I hope that you do not lose that desire, that you just make it a point this summer that, God, I'm going to just raise my passion level for you. It doesn't mean anything's wrong in your life, but it simply means, God, I don't want to stay the same. And that's our goal at Destiny Church, is we want to see you continue to grow, not to be complacent, but to grow. And that we should not be the same place today. You know, when I get to September and August and when I get to December, I should be at a different place than I am today. I should be seeing myself growing in areas, growing in discipline, growing in knowledge of who God is in my life. And we want to challenge each other to continue to grow. So today we're going to talk about characters of the Bible, and we're talking about Joseph. Joseph the dreamer. He was a dream weaver, wasn't he? Joseph the dream weaver. We should have played that song this morning. Oh, dream weaver. Dream weaver. Joseph was the first dream weaver. Now, I love Joseph. This is probably one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. Just an awesome story, besides maybe the Moses and the Red Sea and all that happened there. But, I mean, this has got to be one of the most fascinating stories. If you've never read the story at the last part of Genesis about about Joseph and what he went through in his life, I just challenge you to go home and read that story. This is such an awesome story. And today I want to talk to you about Joseph the dreamer. How many know that a lot of us have dreams early on in our life? Anybody here today can raise your hand and say, Pastor, I had a lot of dreams early on in my life. Can anybody say that's me? Anybody here? How many has ever had a dream before? Can you say that's me? I've had a dream in my life. Not only, I'm not talking about just dreams when you go to bed, but I'm talking about you just had dreams for your life, some things you wanted to accomplish, some things you feel like God wanted you to do with your life. Maybe it was to finish your degree and to get a certain job, or maybe it was to find that perfect spouse, or maybe it was to do this or that. And somewhere along the life, we have all these dreams early on. I say to all of our high school students and college students today, I say, dream big. Dream big. Don't allow yourself to be confined to your circumstances. Don't allow yourself to be confined to a box of your family, where you've come from, where you're at today. But I say, dream big. Dream big in God and let God do something big in your life. Be a dreamer. But be a dreamer. But many times as we dream in our life, you know, something comes along the way and it's called life. And even though we have a lot of dreams in our life, that life seems to happen, you know. We should make that t-shirt, life happens, you know. Life seems to happen. And somewhere along the life, many times we've seen our dreams begin to be cast aside. Some things that maybe we wanted to do, we thought would be fulfilled in our life, we find them many times just far away. And we feel unfulfilled in our dreams. We feel unfulfilled that maybe God gave us a dream to do something for Him. And maybe God gave us a dream to fulfill a destiny in our life. And something happened and our situation changed. And it forced us to change a career path. It changed, maybe forced us to quit school. Maybe it forced us to do something we didn't want to do. And somewhere along the life, we can find ourselves giving up on our dreams. We can find ourselves just giving up on the dreams that God has given us. And I tell you, the person who fails to dream is a person who, man, you're just sleepwalking through your life. Let me say it again. That's pretty good. You write that down. A person who fails to dream is a person who's sleepwalking through their life. TM. Okay, I spent that on there. Okay, we can trademark that. Okay. Joseph was a dreamer. Let me read to you Psalms 105, 17 through 19. Talking about Joseph here, and it says, then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with fetters, placed his neck in an iron collar until the time came to fulfill his dreams. The Lord tested Joseph's character. Now I'm going to talk to you about this journey that Joseph went on, his dream journey. And this journey is a process of maturing. That many times in our life, that the journey that we're on, that God has, God still has dreams that he wants you to dream. He still has visions that he wants you to vision for your life. He still wants you to have goals in your life. He still wants you to set the bar high for yourself. No matter what your age is here today, God wants you to dream, okay? God wants you to believe. God wants you to get a vision for yourself and never stop dreaming. Never stop believing, okay? But listen, today, somewhere along life, we can lose it through the journey process. Because the journey many times will steal your dream. The journey many times will pull that dream out of you and crush your dream. Step on it and spit on it, man, and throw it out the window. And man, you're like, man, that dream is long gone. And that journey is called life. And life many times has its rough spots and we don't anticipate going through things. So let me tell you this. With a journey, many times we think, God, I had all these dreams, and God, I want to do all these things for you, and God, I have these things I want to accomplish in my life that I feel like you give me goals in my life, and I didn't fulfill them. I'm not giving up on them. And we feel like, you know what? I've lost out on my dream. I've lost out on my journey. I've lost out on it all. And I'm here to tell you today this, that this many times is the point that God takes you to your dream. That it's in that time of feeling desperate. It's in that time of feeling like, man, you've lost it all. It's in that time of saying, man, my heart's crushed. It's in that time of saying, man, my goals have been crushed. And I just don't understand that many times when we go through that, this is the process that God uses to get us to our dreams. But what will happen in our life is we'll reject this process of maturity that God takes us through. God never takes us and says, all right, here's a dream for your life, and then boom, here it is. I mean, we just don't see that, do we? We don't see where God says, all right, I've called you to do this, but you know what? Boom, here you are. I'm going to place you right there in the palace. Yeah, you may be here a little, you may be working for your dad, but you know what? I've called you to be in the palace, man, to be a ruler, and I've called you to have a place of authority, and I've called you to have a place of blessing others and all this other stuff, and we think, man, that's great. God's given me this dream, and then life happens, and your brothers spit on you, and your brothers tell your dad you're dead, and your brothers sell you to slavery, man. And all of a sudden, you're like, what just happened? But many times, it's this journey that God uses to get us where we want to go. And we lose our dreams. Let me talk to you for a few minutes about three dream defeaters. Three dream defeaters. The first dream defeater that Joseph had to deal with here is this feeling, first of all, and it goes along with us, it's this feelings of personal betrayal. Feelings of personal betrayal. Genesis 37, 18 through 28 tells the story of Joseph. And Joseph has these dreams. He's the youngest of all of his brothers, and he's there, and he has this dream. Hey, he goes to his brother, hey, guys, listen, I just had this dream. Let me tell you about this dream, man. I just dreamed that we were out in the field, and we were gathering the sheaves up. If you're wondering what sheaves are, this is when you get a bunch of grain together and you tie it together, you know, big things of grain. They call those sheaves. He said, we were out there getting all the grain in, and we're getting all these sheaves together, and all of a sudden, your sheaves and my sheaves, they all stood up, and they walked to me, and they bowed to me. Now, first of all, if I'd have been his brother, like, Joseph, what have you been smoking, man? You know, all right, the sheaves are coming, man. They're bowing to you, man. Okay, Joseph, we see. Someone hide the pipe from Joseph, okay? There's something going on here because this doesn't seem right. And then he doesn't learn his lesson, and he goes back to him and says, hey, let me tell you about another dream, man. He says that the sun and the stars, man, the moon and the stars, they just all bowed down to me. And his brothers are like, what are you saying? But he's like, man, you guys are going, I'm going to be in rule over you. I'm going to be in rule over you. You guys are going to bow to me someday. And of course, you know, how many know? Let me just give you some advice, first of all. If God gives you a dream that you're going to be in a place of authority over your brothers, and you're the youngest brother, keep that dream to yourself, okay? Just a little wisdom here. Just a little food for thought, you know. You know, many times God gives us a dream, and we just run out spouting it off, you know. And then, look what God told me. You know, I just, I just wondered, just a food for thought. I don't know anything. You just think about this little nugget right here. I often wondered, would Joseph have to go through the pit to get to the palace if he'd have kept his mouth shut? Just a food for thought. I wonder if God could have used another path to get him there. Just a little food for thought, if he had just kept his mouth shut. Many times, it kind of reminds me of some guys in Bible college, man. When we went to Bible college, you had guys that walk around, you know what, someday you're going to be on my staff, and you're going to be working for me, and you know, and you're like, what? You know, these guys are like, what are you talking about? You can't even hold a job. You think you're going to be a pastor, you know? That's our first thought, you know, many times. And I can see his brothers kind of having the same train of thought. Man, go back to daddy, you know, leave us alone. So they begin to despise him and begin to get jealous of him. And to make things worse, he was the youngest, and it says that Jacob loved him the best because he was such an old age when he had Joseph, you know. How many has ever had, you know, a sibling that came along and was surprised, you know, and there was quite a big difference between you and that sibling, and how, you know, the parents kind of favored him. I mean, how many know that youngest one got away with stuff that you never got away with, you know? You know what I'm talking about. That youngest gets away with things, the younger brother, sister, because maybe the parents had them later in life and they're a lot more mellow, and you were the guinea pig, and so, you know, whatever reason, whether it was an unplanned pregnancy or they planned you, whatever, but you came along later in life. You know, there's something that happened. This is kind of what happened with Joseph. He was the youngest here, and it says that because Jacob was so old that he really favored him the most. So much that he even made him this coat of multicolors. I mean, come on, parents. First of all, let's just use a little wisdom here. You want to cause some rivalry among the siblings, you know, go out and buy one a coat of many colors, you know, and play favorites. You know, you just can't do that. And so we see this happening with Joseph. His dad made him this custom-made coat. He was, you know, it was he had, you know, Armani on it, whatever it was. It was nice, okay? It was a nice coat. And it says that his brothers were so jealous that when he came out one day, they took him prisoner and they threw him in the pit. They threw him in the well. And to their luck, they threw him in the well. You know what happened? It says there was no water in the well. I mean, talk about bad luck. Let's just throw him in the well and let him drown. They throw him in the well. Thug, they hear, you know, oh, great. There's no water in there. What are we going to do? He's still alive. And so they start debating what they're going to do. Let's kill him, you know, and do this and that. And finally, one of the brothers steps up. Let's don't kill him. Let's don't have his blood in his hands. But let's sell him off to slavery. And they saw this caravan coming of these guys. And they said, hey, they're going to the market in Israel. They're going to sell the slaves there. So they give them over to there. They take them to Israel, and they sell them there. And listen, this is what's the cool thing. Because as he goes there to Egypt, and as he goes to be sold off into slavery, I mean, can you imagine that ride? You've just been kidnapped by your brothers, thrown in the well, sold off to slavery, never to be see your family again, by your own brothers. Feelings of personal betrayal. I mean, you talk about Joseph's dreams going down the gutter real fast. You talk about losing your dream real fast. How would you like it if your own siblings, they turn on you, man? And many times our dreams will get crushed by those that are closest to us, by those who we think have our back, by those we think have our best interests at heart, for those maybe you've served, that those maybe you've helped, that those friends you've given your life for, maybe a family member, someone close to you betrays you, man, it can squish your dreams. It can kill your dreams. Feelings of personal betrayal. Can you imagine the feelings that he had as he was riding on that trip? Thinking, what are my brothers doing to me? The second thing, dream defeater, I want to talk to you about today is living through injustice. Living through injustice. In chapter 39, we see where he was sold to Potiphar's house. And Potiphar, as we know, he was ahead of all the officers of Pharaoh's army. The Egyptian army, he was the head of all the officers. And he was sold to Potiphar. So here's Potiphar over all the armies of Pharaoh's house. And it says that while he's there, that the Lord gives him favor in Potiphar's sight. I mean, this is a cool cat, man, that wherever Joseph's at, he finds favor with God. We see something of the character of Joseph here, that he is going through and he's living through injustice. But even though he's living through injustice, he still gets promoted where he's at. And we see where he's there, he gets promoted in the house, of Potiphar's house. So he's probably thinking, you know what? I got sold into slavery. This ain't too bad, man. I'm getting in good with Potiphar here, and Potiphar is the head of all the Egyptian army. And so this ain't too bad. I've got a place of authority. So this is pretty cool. Maybe it's not the what I saw in my dream, but you know what? This is a cool thing. And it says that God gives him favor, and God blessed everything he did. It says that he was a good-looking guy. I mean, he was hot. He was there, man. He was there. He was good-looking. That's what the scripture says, man. He was a great-looking guy. So much that Potiphar's wife wanted him. It says that she continued to go to him and make advances at him sexually. And she was like, come on, come lay with me. Come lie with me. Go to bed with me. Continue to go after him, nagging him. And, you know, it said Joseph would continually try to stay away from her. And then it says one day that they were in the house and where he was working, and it was just the two of them there. And then she approached him and said, come on, man. No one's around. Let's do this thing now. And he's like, man, I cannot defy Potiphar. He's given me everything in this kingdom. He's blessed me as a slave. He's blessed me to the highest place that he can bless me. I am not going to defy his wife. And it says that he just ran right there, ran over her arms. She kept his coat. And it says that she goes to her husband and says, listen, this Joseph guy, look what he tried to do. He came and tried to seduce me. He tried to rape me. Look, I even got his coat to prove it. I mean, put yourself in his shoes. And what happens? It says that he goes and he gets to be put in prison right away. Because he doesn't sleep with her, because he does the right thing, he gets the one that gets put in prison. You know, what an injustice. And think about this for a second. You know what? Potiphar knew that Joseph didn't try this. I'm convinced 100% that Potiphar knew that Joseph was innocent. Because if Potiphar even thought for 1 minute that Joseph was guilty, he'd have killed him. He'd have had him killed. He killed people. We'll see in Scripture, he killed guys for a lot less than this, okay? He would have had Joseph killed. But I believe he was so mad at what was going on. He was so mad at his wife. He was so upset that he took all of his anger out on Joseph and he placed him in prison. And so here's Joseph, wrongly accused. He's done nothing but serve faithfully to Potiphar. He's done nothing but being abused by his family, sold off as slavery, works his way and be faithful to God. He gets promoted in Potiphar's house. Doesn't sleep with Potiphar's wife when she makes advances, but yet he gets accused of it anyway and gets thrown in prison. Feelings of personal betrayal and then living through injustice. That many times that things happen to us that just aren't your fault. Let me say it to you. There's many times you have to go through things in your life and you feel like you're in a prison. You feel like you're being punished and it wasn't your fault. It's just life. Things happen and it was injustice. You were wrongly accused. You were wrongly punished. You were wrongly singled out. And when those things happen in your life, they will many times squelch your dreams. They will squash them. They'll quench them, man. They'll just take them all apart and just throw them down, man. They'll step all over them. Your dreams are just thrown out the window because someone betrayed you. And you had to live through injustice. It just wasn't fair. Pastor, I had a dream, but it just wasn't fair. I was wrongly accused of this. I had to do this. All of us in our life will go through times of injustice. But how will you respond? That will determine whether your dreams will continue. The third dream defeater is unfulfilled expectations. Unfulfilled expectations. You know, this is an awesome scripture because we see in this story where he's down there and it says that the butler and the baker both get thrown to prison with him. Now, while he's in prison, of course, Joseph gets blessed of God and he becomes the head of the prison. I mean, wherever this guy goes, he gets promoted to the head of everything he's at. So he's head of all the prisoners and he gets thrown in prison. And it says while he's there that the baker and the butler get thrown in prison. So we got Jeeves and Mr. Food down there in the prison with Joseph. And this is what happens. It's one day these guys come to him and they say this, hey man, we're troubled. Joseph, what's wrong, man? We had a dream and it's really troubling. And they tell their dreams to Joseph and Joseph interprets their dreams. He says, tells one of the guys, hey, just in a few days you're going to be put back into your place, you know, and God's going to restore you back to where you were with the king. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all good. And then the next day, the other guy's like, hey, man, I had a dream too. Tell me my good news. I got some bad news for you, man. You're going to be killed, okay? And, of course, in just a matter of a few days, those things happen. And he told those guys as he interpreted their dreams, don't forgive me. Don't forgive me. When you go back out, tell them I'm innocent. I didn't do it. Let them know that I've been faithful down here in prison, and I didn't do it. Please let them know that I've been wrongly accused. And as they get back and they get restored, it says that they were taken out of prison. Jeeves and Mr. Food, they get taken out of prison. Of course, Mr. Food, we find out that he got killed. Shortly after that, it came true. But the butler got put back to his place of rightful place in the kingdom. And it says that he forgot about Joseph. He forgot about Joseph. And once he got up there, he forgot all about Joseph interpreting his dream, about Joseph being innocent. I mean, can you imagine that when those guys left, and he thought, these guys are going to go on my behalf. They're going to tell them that I'm here by God. I interpreted their dreams, you know, that I'm exalted already to the head of the guardship. I'm innocent. I didn't do anything. I didn't make advances at Potiphar's wife. It was her making advances at me. I mean, he's thinking, finally, I'm going to get some justice. And days go by, and he hears nothing, nothing. I mean, talk about unfulfilled expectation. He's thinking that any day I'm going to get released, and he never hears a thing. That many times in our life, these things happen to us, that we have expectations of the way things are going to go. Things are going to turn around. Things are going to do better. People are going to follow through with their word. Things are going to happen. And somewhere along the line, they abandon you. People forget who you are. People forget what they've done. And man, they will just come along, and man, your dream just seems to go, oof. By personal betrayal, it steals away our dreams. Injustice, living through, being wrongly accused, wrongly treated at work, discriminated against, looked over your job because somebody else got it who was not as qualified as you. I mean, you talk about living through injustice. It happens, and somewhere along the way, we live through injustice, we live through personal betrayal, and it takes our dreams, and it just tears them apart. Unfulfilled expectations come along, and we have expectation of what God's going to do in our life or what people are going to do. And somewhere along the line, it just never happens the way we think it's going to happen. And we give up on our dreams. Let me talk to you today about the rest of the story, which is an awesome story. I want to talk to you in the second part about three dream releasers. Three dream releasers. Quickly, let me give them to you. Number one, forgiveness releases freedom. Forgiveness releases freedom. You know what? I believe in my heart that when Joseph was tied up, being taken to Egypt to be sold as a slave, that in his heart, he was already starting to forgive his brothers. Pastor, where do you see that in Scripture? I can't tell you the verse that it happens. Let me tell you my opinion on why. Because we see wherever he goes that God blesses his life. And if Joseph had been a person who walked around with unforgiveness, God would never would have blessed that spirit. And let me say it to you today. If you walk around with unforgiveness in your heart over people who have hurt you, God will never bless you. God will never bless you. When you walk around, you've been done injustice in your life. You've been betrayed. Even though you have legitimate reasons of being mad, you have legitimate reasons at holding a grudge. When you hold that grudge and you hold unforgiveness, you stop the hand of blessing that God wants for your life. And we see that in Joseph's life, that no matter where he went, whether it was the prison, whether it was Potiphar's house, or whether it was Pharaoh's court, man, it doesn't make a difference. Wherever he was at, he continued to have success. God exalted him no matter where he was at because he walked in forgiveness. He walked in forgiveness. And today, I got to say to you, we got to learn to walk in forgiveness. If you want God to exalt you where you need to be, you got to learn to walk in forgiveness. Because you're going to be betrayed in your life. You're going to have injustice happen in your life. You're going to walk through times of unfulfilled expectation. It's a part of life. It's a part of our journey. You're going to have to go some times of being in the pit. Go some times of walking through your prison. What's your attitude going to be during those times? Are you going to sulk up? Are you going to feel like, man, the world's all against me, and I'm going to give up my dream. I'm going to give up what God's called me to do. Or are you going to say, you know what, God, I'm going to learn to forgive. God, I'm going to forgive because, God, you're bigger than anything else man can do. And, God, my dreams are not going to be forgotten. God, my dreams today are not going to be cast aside. I'm going to stay. The second dream releaser is faith releases favor. Faith releases favor. Hebrews 11:6 says what? It says that without what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if without faith it's impossible to please him, then with faith I must be, what? Pleasing God, right? Pretty simple. Okay, without faith, I don't please God. With faith, I please God. And so when I have faith in the Lord, it releases the favor of God. It releases a pleasant thing to God. God is looking for those to give his favor to. God is looking for those to bless. God is looking for those who have faith in him. Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is this, that even though you have a dream, even though you have a vision, even though you have things for your life that God's called you to do, when they are squashed by people, when they are squashed by injustice, when they're squashed by unfulfilled expectations, by personal betrayal, how do you respond? How do you respond? I respond, first of all, by forgiving, and then I respond by walking in faith. How do I walk in faith? That means this. That means that God, even though I'm walking through a valley right now, God, your word says that, you know what? Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. And God, even though man may mean it for bad, God, you can mean it for good in my life. Even though man may want to see me squashed, even though family members may betray me, even though people may try to steal the vision you put in my heart, as I pursue you, I am not losing my faith in you. Because, God, I know my hope is in you. My future is in you. God, you're the one who blesses me. You're the one who's going to set me where I need to be. God, you're the one who's going to take me where I need to be. And, God, I am not letting go of my dream because, God, you have placed it there. Yeah, I may be going through a season right now where I feel like I'm in a prison. I may be going through a season where I feel like I'm walking through the pit. I may feel like I'm going through a season when I don't understand the betrayal that I'm facing. I may be going through a season when I don't understand the unfulfilled expectations that are happening in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in my job, in my education, in my ministry. What are the things I'm going through I don't understand? But I have one thing. God, I have faith in you. If I walk in forgiveness, if I will not harden my heart, and God, I keep my faith in you that no matter what I go through, God, knowing that you will sustain me, that God, you will bless me. God, you will bring the dreams that you have given me to come to pass. When I don't do that, I unleash the favor of God in my life. Joseph had the spirit. Whether he was bound up, riding on the back of a camel, side of a camel, all the way to Egypt, whether he was falsely imprisoned, he never lost hope of what God was going to do for him. He always had faith in the Lord, and God used him in a mighty way. No matter where he was at, he blessed him. And we see this happening, that God blessed him mightily. It says right here, number three, I want to talk to you about the third point here, the last point. I love this point. Perseverance, this is a dream releaser. Perseverance can release you from prison to the palace in one day. In one day, look at the story in chapter 41. It says that Pharaoh has this dream, and it begins to trouble him. He has this dream about all these things happening, and he sees his dreams about these cattle coming out, these cows coming out, and these skinny cows eating these fat cows. And then he has a dream about these skinny grain, you know, overtaking the fat grain, overtaking the skinny grain. He's like, man, it's trouble. What's going on? Can anybody interpret these dreams? He's asking around to his advisors, and nobody can interpret his dreams. And finally, his butler, old Jeeves, he's up there. Hey, might I tell you something? You know, Jeeves is up there, the butler. I always wanted a butler, don't you? That's my life goal, to have a butler one of these days. Anyway, for now, let's have kids. But anyway, we have a butler. This is the butler. Says, hey, Pharaoh, listen. There's this guy, he predicted what happened to the baker. He predicted his dream, he predicted my dream. When he's in prison, it's Joseph. He can interpret your dream. He said, well, send for him. And he sends for him, and he tells him his dream. And Joseph says, hey, yeah, this is pretty easy. God's giving me favor here. I can tell you what God wants to tell you. That, man, there's going to be 7 years of just great harvest here. Then after that, we're going to have 7 years of just a famine in the land. There's not going to be any grain. And God wants you right now, he wants to tell you that he wants you to save up and be plentiful and save up all the grain you can and take all the food you can and begin to store it up and get ready because there's going to come a time of famine, great famine in the land. And it says that Pharaoh said, man, what a wisdom. And he goes on to tell him a plan how to do this. And Pharaoh's like, what wisdom? He goes, hey, how about you? How about you leading that whole project for me? Matter of fact, I tell you what, the whole kingdom belongs to you. You're second in command. Can you imagine Joseph saying, what just happened? I just walked out of prison to being placed to second in command of the whole kingdom. One day. One day. You talk about the favor of God. Joseph couldn't have done it on his own if he'd ever tried. I mean, there's no kind of plan he could have schemed up. There's no kind of plan. There's nothing, no kind of action he could have ever done that would have placed him in one day where he was at. But when God's hand is upon your life, when God is pleased with your life, God can take you from the prison to the palace in one day. In one day. You see, that's why we don't give up on our dreams. That's why we don't give up, because God has a plan for your life. And he's looking for those who will persevere through the hard times, through the rough times, through betrayal, through injustice, through unfulfilled expectations. He's looking, who's going to persevere through those times? Who's going to stay faithful to me even when they feel like I'm not there? Who's going to love me? Who's going to worship me even when they don't feel the little tingles going up and down their back? Who's going to love me and worship me even when they're not playing my song? Who's going to love me and stick with me even when they're betrayed by someone close to them? Maybe even in the church. Who's going to do that? Who's going to walk through those times? And it's many times we walk through it and we feel like, God, I don't know when I'm ever going to get out of this, but I know if I'll put my trust in you, if I'll walk in forgiveness, God, you can place me from the prison to the palace in one day. And we see that's what happened. Of course, the rest of the story, you can read it on your own, but we see where he did that, man. He got all the grain, got it all stored up, all the food stored up, and it says that when the famine came, that his brothers went to him and asked for food. They didn't recognize who he was. And he was able to send back and bring all the rest of the family and bring his dad up. And they all seen where he was at, and they all bowed to him. Well, Joseph, please have mercy on us. Don't kill us because of our wrong we did to you. He says, hey, man, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I forgive you. I've already forgiven you. I've walked in forgiveness. And mercy on his family, mercy on his brothers. He restored them back in a relationship. He gave them plenty. I mean, not only did he forgive his brothers, I mean, he blessed them above and beyond. If you got one scoop, he gave them 10. I mean, he was blessing his brothers beyond what he was called to do. You talk about a love and forgiveness. See, that's what God's wanting us to do. Those who have betrayed us, those who have hurt us, there's going to be times, God's going to give you time when you can go and you can bless them. When you can go and say, you know what, I just want to bless you above and beyond. And when an opportunity arises, we got to seize it and take it. Be kingdom-minded, okay? Let's bow our heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I just want to just ask you a couple questions. First of all, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, you're talking about Jesus, and we've been talking about him all day long, and about forgiveness of sins and things that are happening. If you're here today and you say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you have, and you just haven't lived for him in a long time. You haven't served him, and today you say, I want to come back, and I just want to rededicate my life to him. I will not embarrass you in any way, but if nobody's looking, can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. Raise it high. Tim, that's me. Anybody here? I want to give you that opportunity. Make sure you raise it high. I want to make sure you have a chance to make that prayer. Thank you. Thanks for being honest, buddy. Appreciate it. Thank you. Anybody else today? That's me. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ. We've had 3 hands so far. Anybody else today? Say, I want to be part of these people who raised their hand. Say, that's me. I want to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life again. Anyone else here today? I want to give you that chance. Before we go any further, I want to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask you to all of us to pray this prayer together. Can we do this? Repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. All my sin, all my hurt, all my rejection, everything I am, I give to you. I ask you today to be Lord of my life. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it today, we say welcome to the family of God. Can we just give them a hand clap? Yeah, it was a good thing. Yeah. You guys have raised your hands today. Let me say this to you. This is just the beginning. This is not the end. It's just the beginning of a relationship that Jesus Christ wants to walk with you every day. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean I pray a prayer and that's all said and done, but it means that I begin to turn away from the person I used to be and begin to pursue a life pleasing to Jesus. I get plugged into a church home. I get build friends who will help me and support me and pray for me. Make sure you today that you come and let us minister to you. Before you leave today, there's some packets in the back for our new, anybody who accepted Jesus Christ today. We have a new Bible for you and some other things we want to give to you. Just stop by in the very back. We'll give those to you as you leave today. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. And as you stand, I want to ask you just one question. If you're here today, you can say, Pastor, even with eyes open, I'm going to ask you to bow your head. So you say today, Pastor, somewhere along my life, I've allowed some dreams to be stopped because of things that have happened. And today, I just want to pray that, I raise my hand and say, today I want to stop that and I want to allow God to allow me to dream again. If today you're here, you say, I want to dream again. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? That's me. I want to dream again. Anybody here? Yeah, several people. Say, I want God to restore my dreams again. I want to stop letting my circumstances stop me from being what God's called me to be. Yeah, thanks for being honest, guys. That's where it starts right here. Being honest before the Lord. Say, I'm not going to give up on the dreams. Nobody's going to stop the dream that God's given me in my life. I'm going to pray a closing prayer today. I'm going to pray especially for you today who raised your hands. So can we do that today in closing? If you're comfortable doing that, I want to invite you to do that. Can we just raise your hands to heaven as a sign of surrender to God? Father, we lift our hands up to you today as a sign of surrender to you. And Father, I pray for every hand who is raised, who said they have given up on dreams, Lord. They've allowed things to happen through circumstances, through rejection, through personal betrayal, through injustice, unmet, unfulfilled expectations that we had in our life. Somewhere along the way, we've lost the dream. And God, I pray today that God, you're a God who loves to give us dreams for our life. Give us fresh vision. Give us fresh dreams. And I pray today that God, what the enemy tried to destroy, that today you begin a new thing in their heart. That God that says, I'm not going to give up on the dream that you've given me. I'm not going to give up on the passion that you've given me, God. And God, I'm going to stay true to you. And even though I walk through times I don't understand, that God, I'm not going to give up today, but I'm going to pursue after you. I'm going to stay faithful to you. And I'm going to say, God, allow me to dream again. Allow me to dream again. Allow me to dream again. Allow fresh dreams to come in my life. Allow fresh dreams to come into my heart that I can grow in you and pursue things that you want me to be the man you've called me to be the woman you've called me to be in you. And Father, I thank you for the honesty today of those who raised their hands. And I just come against any fear today, any form of rejection that would try to attach itself to us. And Father, I pray that you release in them new dreams, release in them fresh vision today for their life. And Father, we're going to walk in forgiveness, and we're not going to allow anybody to stop us fulfilling the dream that you've given us. That God, you've called us to make a difference. You've called us to go beyond where we're at today. And we are not going to settle for anything less than the best that you have for us. Father, in Jesus' name, we say together, amen and amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. You guys have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night.